when Paul was writing this, it was a lot of controversy back then. There's Jewish people, there's Greek people, and they're getting saved. They're in this church, and they're fighting back and forth, okay? They should have their head covered. We don't have to. Back and forth. And that's the thought. All right, let's go a little bit forward. The idea of a head covering was important in ancient cultures, and it still is today. To wear a head covering or a veil was a public symbol of being under authority and protection of another. The woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, which is her husband. When it talks about her head, remember the head of the woman is her husband. It ain't talking about her head that her brain is in, okay? It's talking about that authority that's over her. If she prays with her head uncovered, it dishonors him. And it was a public symbol of being, of dishonoring him. Let me read right what I wrote. The woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, which is her husband. She would be professing publicly as not being under the authority of her husband. Women's lib is not a new thing. You can laugh at that, okay? It's been going on for centuries, okay? This thing about authority and all. No, husband, don't get the idea. Now you can go home and I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to leave it alone. Let's go. That's a lesson for another day. We're just talking about this. Okay. And it says in verse number 6, if she, in the last part of that 6, if she uncovers her head, it's just like she's one who was shaven. What did that mean? Well, back then, prostitutes and others, ladies who would shave their head, it was a sign of, hey, I'm available. That kind of thing. I ain't going to say no more, but that's what it was. And it was also meant that she was, a lot of slaves would have to shave their head. So it was a sign of, what's the word am I looking for, Danny? Dishonor, yeah. But it's a, yeah, yeah. A what? Yeah. Okay, well, you got the picture. Verse number 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much he's the image and glory of God. And let's get this. Man reflects the image and the glory of God, which is his creator. Matter of fact, we see that in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. I will make man in my image. And that's what Paul is saying here about men covering their head. Again, this is back when Paul is talking in the culture of that day, in the society of that day. I will say this. It was really neat last week. Was it last week we had CMA guys here? The Christian Motorcycle? Wasn't it last Sunday they were here? I don't know if you noticed, I did, because I'm standing up here looking out. They had caps on. It was really neat just to watch this from the pulpit side, that when we stood up and when we prayed, you know what they did? They took their cap off. It was interesting that it was just a sign of respect and honor. And again, I don't know, it's pretty cool. To see that picture here last Sunday with them guys that, from a different group, so to speak, that they took their hat off, when little cap off when we were praying. Well, that's what he's saying here. Image means a visible representation. So God designed man to be his representative. Man was to display the attributes of God, his goodness, his wisdom, his power, and his love. He said, I'm going to create man in my image. So men were to this to display the attributes of God. Wisdom, love, what's the other one? Power, goodness. Anyway, there, it can go on and on. And then it says in verse number 7, where it talks about, but the woman is the glory of the man. Isn't it interesting? Paul does not say the woman is the image of God. Again, I'm not picking on it. I'm just telling what it said. Okay. He said man is the image of God, not woman. But he said that she was, it says, but the glory of the man. To me, that's a great compliment. She's the glory of the man. It means that our wife makes us shine. Amen. Amen. Eddie's the only one that said amen beside me that I heard. I'm going to give you husbands one more chance, okay? Woman is the glory of man. Your wife makes you shine. Amen. That's much better. That's kind of, he designed her to be our helpmate. We couldn't make it without her. She makes us complete. And that's what he is saying here, and I got to move on. There is so much here, and I can't wait to teach that class. This is going to be part of that class. Anyway. And I have here, she was taken from man and given back to man to complement him, to be his helpmeet, to be his helper. And in verses 8 and 9, I have a quote here. We can't live with him, and we sure can't live without him. I love that. I wrote that when I was, boy, we can't live with him, but we sure can't live without him. We got to have him. We got to have him. We got to have him. And that's what verse 8 and 9 says. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. What is that talking about? They make us complete. The man is not of the woman. We know that Eve was taken out of man is what he is saying here. And Eve was given back to man. So something was taken from man, his side, rib, whatever, from his side, given back to man. Adam was incomplete because he lost something. And God, do y'all see that beautiful picture? So God gave him something even better. My wife is worth a rib. Don't tell her I said that, but you get the picture, okay? Verse number 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Oh, wow. Be submissive in worship and in all things. Now, this is an interesting statement. Because of the angels. Wow. Do you know that not only God watches, do you know angels watches us? Even at this precise moment, and don't go looking around, there are angels in attendance. I can't understand it, but they're here. That's why you need to behave in church. Not because of me. Sometimes I see y'all, and all, but it ain't because of me. God's watching, and the angels are observing. Let that sink in before going any farther. Dale, I promise I'll finish it. Let that sink in, though. Well, nobody's watching me. Oh, yeah? Not only God. But there's angels. Remember we had a study on angels, and I believe we have, quote-unquote, guardian angels, those that protect us. And remember we did the study, just some of y'all need more guardian angels than some of the others. But I do believe there's an angel. You point to the husband, okay. Because of the angels, they are watching. What kind of, man, my mind is going 100 mile an hour. What are you thinking? What's your motive? Are you submissive in worship? Are you humbling yourself in worship? And this is only not just women, also men. Did we come to worship? Angels are watching. Verse number 11. I underline that word in my, nevertheless. Every time he says that word, nevertheless, your antennas ought to pop up. Nevertheless. Neither is the man without the woman. Neither the woman without the man. In the Lord, we need each other. He talked about the head, the authorityship, but we need each other. Nevertheless. That's what he's saying here. We need each other. And then again, in the Lord. Remember we talked about earlier about marriage, divorce, and remarriage in chapter number 7. Remember that subject? I was on that for weeks. Paul, my wife, my husband's unbeliever. What do we do? Well, he said if she wants to or he wants to stay married to you, stay married to them. If they leave, let them leave and you're not under bondage. But we went through all that. And then he says you're free to marry, but only in the Lord. So believers are to marry believers. And so he reemphasizes that, but in the Lord. Now, verse number 12.